When a government can confiscate the earnings of the people with no restraint or no limit whatsoever on the amount that government takes, then government has become the master.
Didn't you say that all services were worth at least $5.15, and here there is a service that's being rendered to you personally, which you are not compensating at all?
No, I said to you earlier, unless someone decides that they want to volunteer.
During the election, all this enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders was taking place while people in Venezuela, under a socialist government, were starving. They were breaking into grocery stores to get desperate to get food.
Regulation. What do you think should be the proper income tax rate?
Well, the best would be zero.
Welcome back to another episode of Law and Profits here on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. I'm King Ginger, and I'm back. Man, it feels good to say that, but I am back. It has been an incredibly long time since I've been behind this mic, and I have been looking forward to it for a very long time. Thank you guys for all your prayers as I was recovering through heart surgery. Whoa, there's some audio feedback. I'm just trying to pull up the chats. So, okay, sorry. It has been an incredibly long time as I was going through open heart surgery and all that stuff, and we were thank you guys for all your prayers and everything as that happened. I hope the live stream is good. It looks kind of jumpy on my computer. I don't know how it is for you. I'm testing a new service that lets me stream to multiple platforms. I think we're actually live on Twitter right now, which is kind of cool. I don't think I've done that before. So I think we're actually live on Twitch too, which is different. I'm live streaming to Twitch. So, new platform, new system. And again, like I said, I had open heart surgery. It was planned. It was actually my third open heart surgery I've had in my entire life. I had one when I was 4 months old, one when I was 16, and now one when I'm 35. So every, 16, 15 years, I'm supposed to have one. Doctor said I was supposed to have one 5 years ago. But I didn't have a wife that would make me go to the doctor and get heart checkups, and now I do, and she made me go to get heart checkups, and the doctor is pretty much like, you need to have this done pretty quick, and so we decided to do it in December when our health insurance we've met our deductible, so my wife was like, you're gonna do it before the end of the year. And so we did it before the end of the year. It was scheduled for December 5th, and they put it off twice, actually, because there were newborn babies that needed it immediately. And also because I have the condition that I have is kind of rare. They wanted we found out they wanted a large doctor team available for the whole thing to study. So that was kind of cool that, we were willing to put my surgery aside to save some lives. And so we had the surgery December 17th. I was only, by the grace of God, I was only in the hospital 4 days for open heart surgery. And then I came home for a week, I believe. And then we met with the surgeon, and the surgeon said I could fly as long as I don't, I can fly as long as I don't. Sorry, I have something on my computer that's frozen. It's this weird. What's weird? It's froze. My live stream is froze for me, but I know it's not frozen for you guys. And I can't fix it for some reason because it's like in between two windows. We'll just keep it like that then, I guess. So, anyway, December 17th had surgery. We got permission to fly, and then we went, we just flew, probably I think on the 30th, we flew to Virginia, and we surprised my family. We didn't tell anybody, but my dad, just to make sure that, nobody had plans to like go anywhere or do anything. So we told my dad, and we surprised my mom, and we surprised my grandparents because we weren't able to be home for Christmas this year. And also, being with your family takes a lot of the pressure and stress off my wife to take care and provide for me the whole time. But let me tell you, if you're ever on an airplane and you're not allowed to use your arms, just try getting up out of an airplane seat without using your arms. That is the worst possible thing. So, yes, getting up out of an airplane seat without using your arms was extremely difficult. And then on the way back, obviously I'm feeling a lot better now. I can sit in a computer chair, not as long as I used to, but I think we're doing okay. And I still have lifting requirements for about another 3 weeks. I'm not allowed to really lift anything heavy, but I have way more energy than I've ever had. I'm able to climb upstairs and not remember it, or walk up a hill and not realize it. That's been interesting, because in my head I see it and I'm like, oh no, a hill, oh no, stairs, because that's how I've always pretty much been. And now they put two of the largest adult heart valve sizes in me, which I've never had. When I was 16, they put the smallest adult valve size in me, and the cardiologist was like, I don't know why they would do that when you're 16, knowing you're going to outgrow it. But anyway, that's how it is. I'm at the top of shape. Went to the cardiologist today. Everything is good. So thank you guys for your prayers. I look forward to using this level up, this EXP that I gained, and I look forward to using it to grow and further the kingdom. And with all that said, I am glad that we don't have government health care yet, at least to the degree that Bernie Sanders would like us to have. It makes me very happy that I guess you would call it bastardized corporate greedy wealth medical care. I'm glad that that's what we had, and also thankful that my wife had a pretty good health insurance with her job with the state. So praising the Lord for the medical systems that He has in place, and I'm excited to build the kingdom this year with renewed strength and energy like I've never had. So, all that being said, there was a thing that happened in Virginia today. I like to say it's a miracle, because I don't have another word to describe it. Think about it, guys. There were thousands of people that gathered all over the country today, all over the state of Virginia, but they came from all over the country to the state of Virginia. 50,000 people, I think, is what was recorded. 50,000 people showed up to Richmond, Virginia, to protest Governor Ralph Northam's awful, god-awful gun laws, and they came packing, open carrying, showing off their guns, and with 50,000 people with guns, 50,000 people, nobody was hurt, nobody was shot, not a single bullet fired, with 50,000 people, not a single bullet was fired. That is pretty incredible, pretty amazing, and I'm just going to say it. That is what you call a miracle. That is what you call a miracle, and boy, man, I mean, just imagine. The government has been saying that when people gather with guns all over the place, people are going to die. The governor of Virginia declared a state of emergency. You know what? Let's find that state of emergency, because I think that that is something that is important to read. Governor of Virginia, state of emergency, because I can't think of anything. I can't think of anything more. Cowardly than issuing a state of emergency, because people are going to show up with guns. Let's see if we can find this. Virginia governor declares state of emergency ahead of, this is a host. Let's see. Boop, 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 boop. Virginia governor declares state of emergency. Doesn't seem like I can pull up the actual link anymore because all these news agencies are looking for clickbait. Ah, here we go. There's the actual state executive order. Let share that for you. So here we go. A declaration of a state of emergency due to potential civil unrest at the Virginia State Capitol. The Commonwealth of Virginia is a welcoming state. Virginians understand that diversity of opinion keeps our democracy strong. The more voices involved in our political dialogue, the stronger we are. Civil discourse, even and especially amongst those who disagree, is critical to the democracy's evolution and success. When the civility of the political discourse breaks down, the Commonwealth suffers. Blah, 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 blah. Credible intelligence gathered by Virginia's law enforcement agencies indicates that tens of thousands of advocates plan to converge on Capitol Square for events culminating on January 20th, 2020. Now, think about this. Credible intelligence gathered by Virginia law enforcement states that tens of thousands of... What did the law enforcement do? Did they go on Twitter? Did they look at the news? Like, how? Like, what is Virginia's intelligence capabilities that they were able to figure this out? So, oh, there we go. Now I can, now my stream is fixed, I think. Okay, it was kind of jumpy for me. Anyways, credible intelligence gathered by Virginia's law enforcement agencies indicates that tens of thousands of advocates plan to converge on Capitol Square. Well, way to go, law enforcement's intelligence. That's wasn't hard to do. Available information suggests that a substantial number of these demonstrators are expected to come from outside the Commonwealth, maybe armed, and have their purpose not peaceful assembly, but violence, rioting, and insurrection. So, thank God, the governor of Virginia issued a state of emergency. And stopped insurrection from all these people with guns. Praise the Lord. It is a miracle that all these people showed up in the state of Virginia and was able to live peacefully today. Amazing. Amazing and glorious. I'm very, very happy about the whole thing. And I think this right here shows you that this Democratic governor is an absolute coward, an absolute failure of a leader for the state of Virginia. And I hope everybody that's showed up at this rally actually does something to get this guy out. If you look at this right here, you can see it is signed and sealed by the Virginia State Seal, which says Sic Semper Tyrannis. I think you actually might be able to see it better up at the top. Sic Semper Tyrannis, it means thus always to tyrants. As you can see, there is a dead tyrant on the flag. Virginia, ironically, is a state that is not a fan of government tyrants, as you can see. And so here it is on the seal. And here it is again, sealed again, and signed by the tyrant himself, Ralph S. Northam, for governor. And as you can see, it's been an incredibly peaceful day when 50,000 people marched on to the capital of Virginia and peacefully, with their guns, didn't shoot a single person. And so I think that's a bad day for the governor. I think he was hoping something would have happened. But I think, honestly, if something did happen, it would have still been a bad day for the governor. Because, then he's pretty much lost control of his state. And people would probably blame him for whatever happened. I don't think anybody would believe for a minute, even if there was a shooting in the Richmond Capitol, I don't think anybody would believe for a moment that it wasn't a false flag from the government, which is probably what the governor was hoping for, honestly, because then he could really push the laws forth. But I would say that because it was peaceful and because nothing happened and because those crazy psychotic racist and KKK members that showed up actually picked up their own trash, I think it's a very bad day for the governor in that it shows that people can have guns and not shoot people. And guns can be used just purely for safety. So, congratulations to the governor on this great day. Thank you for declaring a state of emergency, which absolutely did nothing. But I do want to point out that it was stated, one, that the governor himself said, and I saw this on, I think, NBC News. It was a pretty reliable news source, as far as news sources can be reliable today. But it quoted the governor as saying that they plan to use, if needed, drones for the safety today, which was crazy to think about. So the government has drones. They sent in SWAT. They built gates. They had standing armies. At the Capitol today. And people wonder why we need to protect ourselves from the government. So if you've ever read the Virginia Constitution, let's pull this up. Constitution, Article 1, Section 13. Constitution of Virginia, Article 1, Section 13. Let's read this, guys, because this is awesome. You guys will probably really appreciate this. A well-regulated militia composed of the body of the people trained to arms. Notice how it defines what a regulated militia is. It's composed of the body of the people trained to arms. Is the proper, natural, and safe defense of a free state. Therefore, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That standing armies, listen to this, standing armies in time of peace should be avoided as dangerous to liberty. And that in all cases, the military should be under strict subordination to and governed by the civil power. So the military in the state of Virginia should be governed by the people. Should be governed by the civil power. And so, the Constitution of Virginia defines standing armies, like Governor Ralph Northam has shown, to be dangerous to liberty. And I think that is terrifying that he did that today. I think it's absolutely terrifying, and I think the result of it ultimately is that the governor of Virginia has made the state of Virginia a red state this coming election in 2020 for Donald Trump. I don't see how there's any change to that at all. But that seems to be like the most likely thing as a result of this. And so there's that. We have to understand that the ability to protect ourselves, not from a robber on the street, although that's important, not from a grocery store bank robber, or from somebody coming into your house, all very, very important. Though those that ability to protect ourselves is very important and biblical. Obviously, the Bible says that if somebody breaks into your home, you have a right to kill them if they do it in the evening. During the day, There's different laws and requirements, but ultimately, the general equity there is if somebody breaks into your house and you don't know what they're going to do, you have a right to defend your house and your family. That is loving your neighbor. See, the issue in the state of Virginia right now is not a matter of whether or not you can have guns, as much as it is a matter of whether or not are you allowed to love your neighbor. Do you have a right to love your neighbor? And so, that's the issue at hand. Do I, in the state of Virginia, have a right to love my neighbor by protecting them, by protecting my wife, by protecting my child, by protecting my actual next door neighbor, by protecting the individuals I see in alley that are getting robbed? Do I have a right to protect them? But also, do I have a right to love my neighbor in a way that I can protect them from the governor of the state of Virginia? Do I have a right to protect my neighbor from standing armies in the state of Virginia? Those are serious, legitimate questions. And it's something we have to absolutely take seriously, especially when you have a governor that's willing to test the waters like he did today. He's willing to put it to the test. That's frightening. Governor Blackface, that he would do this. It's amazing. It's amazing that it even came to this, really, that he was that bold. And it's frightening. And this is not going to be the last thing you hear from them about it. Speaking of that, let's show you what the governor said today. The governor said, he says, "We are thankful that today passed without incident. The team successfully de-escalated what could have been a volatile situation." Well, first off, they didn't de-escalate anything. The teams didn't de-escalate anything at all. That's because people who are willing to fight for their Second Amendment rights aren't violent people. So there was nothing to de-escalate. There was no issues, no situations that needed to be de-escalated, Governor. And so he says, "I will continue to listen to the voices of Virginians and will do everything in my power to keep our Commonwealth safe." What the governor did today was absolutely dangerous. It was dangerous. He set all the parameters for starting a civil war and tested the waters. And I don't think the people of Virginia are going to forget that. I don't think the people of Virginia are going to forget the fact that he stirred up trouble. I like this quote right here. "You should be impeached for declaring a false state of emergency." Absolutely. Governor Ralph Northam, absolutely dangerous, absolutely maddening that he did that today. Then you have something that really bugged me a lot. You have Donald Trump, and he's saying, "I will never allow our great Second Amendment to go unprotected, not even a little bit." And then he said, "The Democrat Party and the great Commonwealth of Virginia are working hard to take away your Second Amendment rights. This is just the beginning. Don't let it happen. Vote Republican in 2020. So here you have the President of the United States supposedly coming out in favor of the Second Amendment. But remember, this is the president that was supportive of banning bump stocks. This is the president come down on guns harder than Obama has in some instances and signed regulations that the NRA was willing to endorse and support. For reasons unbeknownst to me, but probably financial. I have no idea. But so here's Donald Trump. He's talking about how he will never allow our Second Amendment to go unprotected. And then, as Mike Cernovich says, bump stocks disagree. Bump stock ban takes an effect as gun rights group asks Supreme Court for delay. And so this is just, look, here's the thing. I think Donald Trump is doing a great job as president. I've said so. I've said he shocked me in terms of the amount of amazing things he's done. He's one of the best presidents I've seen in my lifetime, for sure. But every now and then he does something that I don't agree with. And obviously when it comes to guns and his hypocrisy there, I do have an issue. So here is him. This is the president talking about taking guns early without due process. Let's just listen to this for a minute.
If an individual is reported to be a potential danger to themselves or others, allow due process so that no one's rights are trampled, but the ability to go to court, obtain an order, and then collect not only the firearms, but any weapons in the possession
or
of that
might
individual.
Take the firearms first and then go to court, because that's another system. Because a lot of times by the time you go to court, it takes so long to go to court to get the due process procedures. I like taking the guns early, like in this crazy man's case.
Whoa.
That just took place in Florida. He had a lot of firearms. They saw everything. To go to court would have taken a long time. So you could do exactly what you're saying, but take the guns first, go through due process second.
Take the guns first, go through due process second. That's a scary, scary thing. No matter how much you support Donald Trump, when he says stuff like that, it should really, really bother you, really, really concern you. And it does. It concerns me. It bothers me. It upsets me a good amount. That's just something. See, we have to keep our governing officials consistent. Now, maybe Donald Trump has had a change of mind. Maybe he's seen this and goes, hey, I shouldn't have banned the bump stocks. I shouldn't have said what I said about taking the guns without due process. Maybe he's had a change of heart. I hope so. I believe it's possible that he could have. But I can't take him seriously when he tweets that he's going to protect the Second Amendment. After his record just doesn't reflect it. His record doesn't show that he has that much of a concern for it. He is from the state of New York, by the way. And so I think it's important that we just remember when Donald Trump is using the Second Amendment to garner votes, that we hold him accountable and consistent, because he has not been the best president when it comes to protecting the Second Amendment. He's just not. That is what happened today. I was hoping, actually, honestly, I was actually hoping to be able to monitor what was happening at the event live today. However, it was at 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. today, which is 6 a.m. Phoenix time. And our flight, we got home from our flight from Virginia at like 3 a.m. yesterday. So that just wasn't going to happen. So I wasn't able to do the live play-by-play like I said I was. But that's one of the things I want to do this year. As events happen, I want to be able to get my live stream setup function going in a way that I can do live streams and do commentary on things as they're happening, like the political debates that we did. February 7th, I believe, is the next debate. The next Democrat debate, and I will obviously live stream that if I'm in town. I will absolutely live stream that, and we'll be live streaming just things that are happening as they're happening. I think this year is going to be a big year for stuff like that, to do live play-by-play of actual events. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to everybody being a part of Law and Profits, sharing the show, telling people about it, joining the Fight, Laugh, Feast network, and becoming a club member. They are due. I'm telling you, man, guys, the guys over at Fight, Laugh, Feast, Cross Politic are adding some amazing content. Some amazing content to the club. Actually, they're adding something. Let me see if I can find it. Because I didn't know it was actually on. Okay, so here's the trailer. Okay. So here's a trailer. I'm going to show this, guys, to you as a reason, as absolute reason, you should join the Fight Laugh Feast Club. This is a movie that me and Chocolate Knox made several years ago. When's the date on this video? This is 2014, July 2014. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, about 6 years ago, probably now, almost 5.5 years. Wow, crazy. This is a movie a lot of people don't know that we made. They've seen How to Answer the Fool. They see babies are still murdered here. But they didn't know we made this one. This is a movie on baptism that is absolutely fantastic. I hope you guys can take a moment and watch this. You can see it now. It's now available on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. And here we go. Check this out. Here's a trailer.
Well, because this is about God. This is not about us. God's got a program for history. And through the power of His Holy Spirit, He's working that out. Well, thankfully, there was already another covenant in existence. Right before the foundation of the world, there was a relationship between the Trinity. They had laid out a redemptive plan from before time.
The church is made up in the new covenant of regenerate believers, right?
How do you see that? Because we live in time and in space and in history. So if it's made up of, let's call it the invisible or eschatological church, if that's who it's made up of, then it's just senseless to talk about church in time and in space.
Why?
Because we can't see that. Let's have that conversation, right? Let's don't go to baptism. Why would you jump to a baptism conversation if we can't get the covenant? If we're not in line here, we're
baptism
not going to be in line here.
Matter.
Yeah, your view on, you know, covenant structure and purpose in history will determine your view on baptism. So do not go directly to the argument on baptism. Don't do that. It's really a waste of time. What's the purpose? Why does it matter? Why does covenant matter? Why does how God relates to you and me in time and space, why does that matter? For what purpose has He designed this covenantal framework through which to work in this world? Well, we know that answer. It is to extend His rule on earth.
Baptism is not enough. Now available on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. You can watch it for free. Once you join, you can watch it for free on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. It is, look, if you're struggling with the issue of baptism, if you're just trying to figure it out, really, that thing has really changed me. It helped me argue the position, but it also had me actually moving away from discussing baptism, when and where and all that thing, and just focus on, how does God work through covenants? Because once you get that, everything else comes together. It actually made me just understand how God works in covenant, made me actually more in favor of homeschooling. So there's a lot more there than just baptism in there. Just understanding the roles of covenant and family and church and how they are not supposed to intersect, and how if you have your kids raised by the government covenant as opposed to the family covenant, like the problems that occur there and all the issues that come together, and then it's like, oh yeah, well obviously baptism. Like, that's literally how it is. It's like you see all these other things, you see how God works here and there, and then you're like, Oh, duh. So go ahead, give that a shot. Watch it. I think you'll really love it. Join the Fight Laugh Feast Club, and then you can join and then put Law and Prophets in. Give me a little hat tip. I'd appreciate it. But again, thank you guys for watching. Let me know what you like, you would like me to cover this year, even if it's like a live event or something might be worth covering. Maybe I'll cover a few of Donald Trump's speeches. That would seem like a fun thing to do. But anyway, thank you guys for everything you've done. Thank you guys for all your prayers. As I recover through heart surgery, I'm ready to have the bone pain of heart surgery go away, so I can put this energy to work. Right now, I'm kind of limited. Hurts to laugh still, hurts to cough. Thank God I haven't sneezed since I've had surgery. Praise the Lord, there was a moment. You know, you get one of those moments, and it didn't happen. Praise God. Because I hear that's the worst part about heart surgery. It is the worst part about surgery. So, fingers crossed, no sneezing for another month, maybe. That'd be nice. But anyway, guys, thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you guys for being a part of everything, and just all your support and just prayers. And thank you guys to everyone at G3 that came up and said that you guys love the show. Really appreciated it. I had no idea if so many people listened to the show, so that was encouraging. And I thank you guys, and I'll see you next week.